Morning, everyone. Morning. It's a great privilege and pleasure to be here to share the story of John Eliot and also the Word of God with you. I feel in this beautiful sanctuary, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I truly believe that you are in the grace of God. God is watching you. God is using you for His glory. I hope and pray that God's great grace be with you through today's sermon. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Today's text, Ezekiel chapter 37, is the text of John Eliot's first sermon to New England Indians, so-called the Algonquians. John Eliot was born in England in 1604 and emigrated to the New England in 1631. He was very busy for his English ministry here, but later on he found some great vision for Indian missions from God, and he started his first preaching to Indians, 1646. Amazingly, he found 14 praying towns and 6 Indian churches, and also he translated the whole book of the Bible in Indian language, not English, Indian language, in 1663. He did a great job for the Indian missions here. Then we can ask, why did John Eliot choose Ezekiel 37 to preach his first sermon? At some point after his arrival in New England from England in 1631, Eliot received a call and vision from God to evangelize Native Americans. And perhaps at the time he received that calling, he saw the spiritual condition of New England and the Native Americans as being like the dry bones described in today's text. Just as Ezekiel spoke the word of God to dry bones so that they would come to life, Eliot would have spoken the word to Native Americans with the hope that they would come to life by the Holy Spirit. As we know, the book of Ezekiel was written as a warning and a call to repentance to the Jewish captives who had already been taken to Babylon shortly before the total destruction of the kingdom of Judah by Babylon in 586 BC. It also contains words of a promise and hope for God's restoration to the Jews who were suffering from the destruction of the kingdom of Judah. Let's see the main points in today's scripture reading. First, the spiritual condition of the Jews in captivity. Today's text, Ezekiel 37, tells of Ezekiel's vision of dry bones coming to life. In the vision, God led Ezekiel to a valley filled with dry bones. Verse 1-2, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and sent me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Perhaps the very dry indicates that the original physical bodies of the bones were long dead, completely dead, hopeless, and beyond resuscitation. By showing Ezekiel so many dry bones, God made him realize that this was the spiritual condition of Israel. God makes his people aware of their own spiritual reality. God makes us aware of the spiritual reality of America, the spiritual reality of Connecticut, the spiritual reality of our neighbors and even ourselves. What is the spiritual condition of the United States, Korea, and the world right now? We see so many negative things going on in the world: sins, corruption, wars, injustice, exploitation, oppression, all kinds of violence, sexual problem, drug problem, and so on. This leads us to think that the world and its people are becoming like dry bones spiritually. God's reason for showing Ezekiel the vision of dry bones was to make him aware of spiritual realities and reveal God's vision and plan to change those realities. God asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" In fact, God's answer was already in the question. God said that he was able to make those dry bones live. Do you think they can be alive? Do you think, "Son of man, I can do that"? God shows us the reality of the world, which is full of dry bones, and asks, "Son of man, can these bones live?" God can make them live. God is able to heal, restore, and renew. God invites us to dream of a restoration and revival. Secondly, the word of God in the revival. How did God bring dry bones back to life then? He brought them back to life by his word. God's word is the means of restoration. Verse 4, "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear, hear the word of the Lord.'" Amen. God's way of reviving the dry bones was to declare the words of the Lord. God works by his word. He gives faith by the word, enlightens by the word, and renews by the word. It is through the word that receive the Holy Spirit. When Peter spoke to the Gentile Cornelius, God caused them to receive the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 10, 44 to 45. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit came when the word was proclaimed. The Holy Spirit works with and through the word. God is still working to you through his word. Number 3, breath and the Holy Spirit. The specifics of what God told Ezekiel to proclaim was that he would bring breath into those dry bones. Verse 5, "This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life." The Hebrew word for breath is in the text is ruach. Ruach also means the spirit of God. Breath symbolizes life. The Hebrew word translated spirit in verse 1, he brought me by the spirit of the Lord, is also ruach. While the ruach in verse 1 refers to God's spirit, ruach in verse 5 is breath, which means life. Same word, different meaning. Importantly, this breath and life comes from God. God is the God of life. God told Ezekiel that by the Spirit of God, the dry bones would come to life and they would live. Today's text, Ezekiel 37, 6 to 8, tells us that Ezekiel spoke at God's command, and this is what happened. There was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath. No breath in them. These words illustrate the process of resuscitating dry bones, but more importantly, they emphasize the fact that without breath, they cannot live. To be truly alive, they must have breath in them, not just bones being put together, tendons growing, flesh rising, and skins covering them. They should receive breath. These verses give us an important spiritual challenge for a person of faith to be spiritually alive believer. He or she must receive the breath of the Holy Spirit. No matter how good the outward appearance of the church, how big the building, or how rich the finances, a church without the breath of the Holy Spirit, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, is a dead church. Jesus Christ rebuked the church in Sardis in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. You have a great reputation. You are famous. You look like alive. However, you are dead. Could it be that God is saying to the churches of today, and even to ourselves, you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead? We may be receiving that rebuke from God now. The individual believer, the family of believers, and the church must always pray for the grace of the breath of the Holy Spirit, the grace of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We can live by the Spirit and gain spiritual victory by the Spirit. Finally, why were the dry bones turned into an army then? Why army? What is the meaning of the army in the text? The text says that the dry bones came to life and rose up to form a very large army. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. The army of God symbolizes a spiritual community that fights for God, with God, and for God's will, not human's will. God's armies fulfill God's holy mission. The warfare waged by God's army is not flesh and blood, but a holy spiritual war. Our war should not be the war of blood and flesh. Our war should be the war of spiritual things. God is breathing life into today's church and believers who may still be dry bones and raising them up with His word. God is calling us to be His army to rise up and fight for God and His will. God calls us to be God's army to take the gospel to the whole world to revive spiritually dying souls and to renew the dying world by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must pray for the breath of the Holy Spirit. We must pray for the restoration through the Holy Spirit and for the revival through the wind of the Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Ezekiel saw and proclaimed a marvelous vision of dry bones being turned into an army of God in the 6th century B.C. In the 1600s, John Eliot saw and proclaimed the amazing vision of God recorded in Ezekiel 37 to the Native Americans. God is calling us today to have the same vision that Ezekiel and Eliot received. God is showing us dreams of dry bones being turned into an army of God, and He is calling us to discover God's will in them and to pray and labor for God's will to be done. Amen. I'd like to invite you to sing together. I'd like to sing the song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Let me think about the message and meditate on the message and pray to God through this praise. Loving God, let the wind of the Holy Spirit, the life of the Holy Spirit, the grace of the word of God, the grace of spiritual and revival come upon us all. May we all stand as God's army, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and becoming God's faithful servants to change the world with your good news, the gospel. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.